Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your problems, questions you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. A child is like a white paper on which you can write good things or bad things. Entire personality of a child is developed by the parents, by the upbringing they do. And in this program, we try to provide all the necessary information that is required to bring up your child in the best possible way. The answers of your questions are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member of Al Mustafa University and researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
All right, in our previous sessions, we have been talking about that parents as educators need to have a certain set of knowledge and skills. So we talked about knowledge, and now I want to ask you, what kind of skills do parents need to have when they are upbringing their children in an Islamic way?
Yes, we would have to talk about the skills. And before that, we need to expand upon the issue of the emotions also, especially regarding chastity.
Okay.
That was something which we just mentioned. I mean, being afif, as is in Arabic, chaste, or being able to manage that lust and desire, that is very important, whether it is pertains to food or other things which are required for our health, for our physical fitness. And then even when it comes to the opposite sex, which is very important, especially for ourselves and for our children, controlling the feelings regarding, I mean, these feelings are natural. If they are not there, human beings will not survive. The continuity of the human race is based on this very instinct. Just as any other animal would require this, to be able to continue the rate of its species in this world, the human being also requires this feeling, which is important. It has to be managed. It has to be controlled, and that is the equilibrium we want to achieve. There are two extremes, where one, for example. One is over. For example, when it comes to food, it expresses itself in overeating.
Okay.
One has a temptation for good or delicious food, and he starts eating without any consideration for his health.
True.
Or even if it's not an issue of health, maybe it's an issue of being completely engrossed in something which is
not having control on yourself.
Material is okay. A material gain.
True.
And you eat so many delicious foods. The more you get engrossed in that enterprise of eating,
yeah,
the more you move away from spirituality.
All right.
So, controlling your eating habits and other things which we like to do. And also, when it comes to sexual relationships with the opposite sex, it has to be controlling this. Of course, when it comes to the halal way of doing it, that is very much emphasized in Islam. That should be done in a very in a manner which gives you complete relaxation and satisfaction. That is very important for human beings to be able to experience well-being.
Yeah.
As it is with food, it is also with this issue.
All right.
It should not be on either extremes, especially becoming a state where one does not desire to eat food.
Okay,
that is not good.
Well, so you're trying to say that being lusty or having desires is okay. That's, one should not go through this obsessive compulsion disorder.
One should not do it for the sake of greed.
And why do I have this? But they have to control it, use it in a halal way, be that desires or be that lust. Well, I'll ask more to you about that after a short break. The listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the control of emotions and the skills required by parents. Yes.
So, once that we ourselves are able to control ourselves and manage our relations and manage our feelings, and we are able to, when we engage with in different relationships, especially with our children, with our spouses, with our children, there we have to completely come out of the other relationships which we have. The baggage should not come with it. If we have any problems,
even if we are in the worldly relationships of our family, we have to be sincere even there. When we are with family, we're with family.
I mean, just forget what was happening today at work. Leave that behind. Come
home. Do
not
bash out on your family, whatever.
So your passion, your engagement with your family should be completely for them.
Okay.
That is sincerity of purpose there. Allah Almighty wants us to get engaged in that relationship with sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
And all our feelings and understandings should be for that sake. So all our feelings, emotions, anger, they should not be allowed to get involved. If there's some issue where we are pent up, where we have pented up feelings at the place of work or at any other place outside the house, we should leave that, forget that. We should be able to, as a computer makes folders, a computer program, you make folders.
Yeah.
And you, from one folder to the other folder, you come out of this folder, you go into the other folder. You forget what was there in the other folder. So we have to be able to have this technique.
That
we are able to make compartments in our life.
True.
And make demarcations. And then manage our thoughts and feelings according to those folders in a very intellectual way.
So you are trying to say that we need to have skills when we as parents are able to manage our feelings. We are not mixing our external feelings with our internal feelings in our family, with the other members of the family. We need to have these set of skills.
Emotional skills, yes. True. Mental skills, emotional things, skills.
That's how we are teaching a child that he does not repeat that tomorrow in his own life.
Exactly. Time management skills.
Okay.
Practical skills are required. Time management, communication skills, how we communicate. Communication skills is something which is overarching. It is a cross-cutting issue where whenever you're engaged with a communication, even with Allah Almighty, when we're communicating in the form of prayers, that requires certain skills.
True.
Here also, the communication skills, how we express what we feel. One of the issues that we have, for example, as a parent, I love my child, but I'm not able to express my love for him in a way that he is able to understand.
So this expression of love requires skills.
It's not just having love. It is the
expression
of love.
True. We will talk more on what kind of skills are still required by parents in the Islamic upbringing after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said, "He who has a child must treat him in a childish manner.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about how parents can control their emotions. What kind of, what set of rules are required that are essential for Islamic upbringing of the children? Well, Professor, you told us about the certain set of skills. You also talked about one of the important skills, that was communication with God. We often see parents who don't reach their desires in the world, and the communication with God is like, you really don't have any love left for me. That's why you want your servant to suffer in this world like this. So when a child hears certain kind of communication of a parent with God, do you think it has impact on his the way he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Certainly, when anyone, especially a parent, would like to express in a way this feeling that, oh Allah Almighty, I have no hope left in you, you have left me on my own, that's...
I mean, there are certain things, like for example, if a particular person passes away, or if a particular tragedy comes to a person, like Islam teaches us, say over here, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Despite of reacting like this, we have many, many parents, many, many people over there who react like, who communicate with God in a way, you only have tragedies for me. You particularly want to target me. Why you have all tragedies for me? Don't you think this kind of question, this kind of communication with God teaches self-centricness to a child?
Yes, certainly. I mean, you need to make, comes back to the understanding that the parent should have. And that is the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, whoever faces more difficulties, more tragedies, he becomes more closer to God.
Okay.
So for many people, that is a way of that Allah Almighty is providing for us, facilitating us to move to Him in at a quicker pace. I mean, those who become close to Allah, they are put to more tests and trials and tribulations. They are given more opportunities to make them excel. So this is the mindset that has to change. That comes back to the bigger picture, realizing and understanding the bigger picture. So a parent should understand that. So this communication in the form of becoming hopeless in God is something which goes back to the correct understanding of the truth. And then if we have this mindset, that we are going to impart the same thing to the child. So we need to be able to have good communication skills with our children, expressing our pure love in a proper way. Time management, because we have many hadiths which say that you need to classify your time. So
yeah,
we'll talk about that in the future.
Inshallah. Thank you so much for being with us, Professor Naqavi. So we have a certain set of skills as parents that need to be. We need to be having, even our communication with God, even if when we are hopeless, it's very important what we are communicating, what we are talking, the tone we are talking in to God and others. All those skills are required. All that has impact. Thank you so much for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners, for listening to IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, comments or suggestions, please contact us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio or our official website, that's www.parstoday.com. Until another session, fi amanallah, God bless you all.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way. Islam is a way of life, a complete way. Islam solves all of our problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah.
delight.
Age does not matter, it's the heart that counts. A Guatemalan female footballer has proved that there is no point one should worry about the age. 57-year-old Alma Salazar has a passion for soccer and takes care of her team's goalpost. Known as Flying Granny, she launches herself and deflects a ball that's looking for the nets. The passion for the sport was born when she was 19 years old. She started training with a men's team where she often found a place as a goalkeeper. Since then, Alma has played for several professional and amateur football clubs. In her room that overlooks a local stadium, Alma keeps trophies she has won on a table, most of them as the least defeated goalkeeper. Locals praise her as an unbeatable goalkeeper.
A free climber known as the French Spider-Man scales a 48-story skyscraper in Paris to fulfill a goal he set for himself once he reached the age of 60.
A few years back, I promised myself that the day I turn 60, I have to climb the total tower. Because 60 years old marks retirement age in France, and so I thought this would make a very good nod.
Alain Roberts says this building is not as hard as others he has climbed. The French Spider-Man has ascended over 100 of the world's tallest buildings, including the Sydney Tower, the Sears Tower in Chicago, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, amongst many others. Roberts says he spent 2 decades climbing mountains before attempting urban climbs. Using his rock climbing experience, he sometimes carries a small bag of climbing chalk to help him grasp the small protrusions of building walls. Many of his climbs can last several hours. The 60-year-old daredevil says he wants to give people the message that age is a number and one can still be active and do sports. A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out 3 patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC. They're back as India has revealed or released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40. World Cleanup Day unites millions of volunteers, governments and organizations to tackle the global waste problem and build a sustainable world. People in several countries joined the efforts again for a waste-free world. Volunteers were seen in mangrove forests in the suburb of Bangkok. They collected more than 1.5 tons of rubbish in just a few hours. Trash picking events were also held in the Philippines and Vietnam. In Hanoi, hundreds, mostly students, armed with metal tongs and sacks, walked along major roads. They said their aim is to raise awareness about protecting the environment. In Manila, people cleaned up the city's beaches that are major tourist attractions. The annual cleanup day has been running for over a decade. From divers collecting marine debris to children picking up trash on beaches have just one goal: make our planet a cleaner place.
Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the 8th month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with menu expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to old people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre-Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is part of a speech of Imam Khomeini, the founder of Islamic Revolution of Iran. It is formidable for the great nation of Iran to ensure the implementation and protection of Islamic values in all aspects of life. To safeguard Islam itself is the most important obligations. All great prophets, from His Holiness Adam, peace be upon him, to His Holiness Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, have strived and sacrificed for the protection of the concept of Islam. No deterrent ever stopped them from fulfilling this great obligation. After the prophets, their committed followers and the infallible imams, peace be upon them all, strove for the protection of Islam to the point of sacrificing their holy blood.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. We talk about the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the performance of obligation. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini mentioned that we should not worry that perchance we will be defeated. We should worry lest we failed to perform our duties. Now, in this part of his speech, he is talking about an important factor of the failure, that when someone is facing the failure, does he take it as a failure or not? And maybe someone is apparently being defeated by enemies, but on the other hand, we see that he was victorious, although he has faced the apparent defeat from the enemies. For example, in the land of Karbala, on the day of Ashur, we see that there was an apparent defeat for Imam Hussein, where every single companion of Imam Hussein was martyred on that day. He gave his children in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He himself got martyred on the day of Ashura in the land of Karbala. And this was an apparent war. When we look at the history, when we look at the incident of Karbala now, we see that throughout the history, everyone talked against Yazid. Everyone praised Imam Hussein. And everyone says that although Imam Hussein got martyred, but he is victorious. He was victorious. and the victory was for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. The main point is that Imam Hussein has performed his duties in the land of Karbala. The things that was on his shoulders, the duties which were given to him, he has performed them perfectly. And therefore, even when he had this apparent defeat or everyone got killed in the land of Karbala, he was victorious. And in today's world, Imam Khomeini is also saying that we should not worry that perchance we will be defeated. Why? Because defeat is in hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The failure is when we do not perform our duties. If we have performed our duties properly, the things that are on our shoulders, the burden that we have, if we have performed it perfectly in time, then obviously we should not be worried about the consequences or the results. The results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants us to perform our duties. He wants the performance of obligation from us, not the results of that, because Allah has the results in His hands. And that is what Imam Khomeini is also referring to.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of Q&A in Islamic beliefs from IRIB English Radio. If you have been following this series of shows, we are trying to answer some doubts or misconceptions on the school of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam or on religious issues in general. Like always, we invite some scholars and researchers from Qom Seminary Schools. This time, again, we have the honor to have Sheikh Nur Muhammad with us in the studio. Sheikh, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My pleasure to be here.
You're most welcome here. Dear Sheikh, the question of the day that we want to talk about in this first session is about the city of Qom. For the respected listeners' information, I have to say that these series of shows are being recorded in a studio in the holy city of Qom. And when we have the honor to host Sheikh Nur Muhammad from Qom Senior Schools in this studio. So, dear Sheikh, we want you to shed some light on the picture which has been portrayed about Qom at the time of Akhir al-Zaman, the end of the time. Basically, want to see if we are at the end of the time based on what ahadith or narrations are saying or not. And on some, let's say,
some predictions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about the holy city of Qum, that and from here the message of Islam will be sent and will be broadcasted to the other cities. So is it true, dear Sheikh, or no?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, talking about the holy city of Qum, we have numerous narrations of Ahlul Bayt describing the high status of this holy city of Qum and, of course, people resident in this holy city. We have a lot of narrations of Ahlul Bayt about the, you know, holy city of Qum. And, of course, we do not want to go to the checking the authenticity of the chain of the narrations in this regard, because it requires another episode talking about the checking each and every narrator of such narrations. It requires the science of Rajal and the narrators of these narrations. But generally speaking, we have some books compiled about the holy city of Qum. But I want to give you a general perspective in this idea. Of course, I want to, for my dear listeners, to relate to such issues. You know, talking about the holy city of Qum and the privilege of the people residents in this city, actually it is conditional. It doesn't mean that all people who are residing in this holy city, they are, you know, pure people, they have no, you know, spiritually speaking, no problem, and so on and so forth. We do not want to cleanse all people living in this holy city.
True.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because if you go to the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, especially the one narration of Imam As-Sadiq, let me quote this beautiful narration.
Yeah.
You know, from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that Turbatu Qum Muqaddasa. Actually, this is a holy city, and wa ahluha minna wa nahnu minhum. Those people who are living in this city, the residents of this city, are from among the real staunch follower of Ahlul Bayt. And la yuriduhum jabbarun bisu illa ujjilat uqubatu. Imam said that nobody wanted to attack and destroy this city, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would punish that person or individual. And the condition here, مَا لَمْ يَخُونُوا إِخْوَانَهُمْ. Imam said that, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala support the residents of this city and all blessing coming to this city in a case that the residents of these people do not betray themselves, do not betray the faith and the faithful people. مَا لَمْ يَخُونُوا إِخْوَانَهُمْ فَإِذَا فَعْلُوا ذَلِكَ. But in a case that maybe in, you know, during some generations, maybe during some centuries, some people betray themselves, I mean betraying the faithful people, and are no longer they are trustful people, he said that فَإِذَا فَعْلُوا ذَلِكَ سَلَّتَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ جَبَابِرَةَ السُّوءِ. If they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assign over them some, you know, tyrant ruler.
Very true.
أَمَا إِنَّهُمْ أَنْصَارُ قَائِمَنَا وَدُعَاتُ حَقِّنَا.
Yeah.
Those people who are trustee, those people who are righteous residents of this city, they are from among the supporters of last savior of humanity, Imam al-Mahdi, and they are called people toward the rights of Ahlul Bayt. The point that I want to make it here is that this is not, you know, absolute privilege and merits for the residents of this, those people in this holy city and in this holy land. Actually, Imam put it put it as conditional. He said that in a case that those residents of this city, you know, they observe the rights of the other faithful believers and faithful people, if they respect each other and if they do not betray each other, actually, in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kind of, you know, supporting for the residents of this city, and these people would be among the supporters of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam.
Inshallah. So does it actually hint some people just to prepare themselves to go to and to move to Qom and to migrate to Qom. And since Imam actually has some good words about the city and the inhabitants of this city, does it make it, pleasant for people who are outside of Qom to come and to move to Qom?
Exactly. We have this kind of encouragement in some of the narrations about the city of Qom.
Yeah.
Yes, of course, we have this kind of encouragement from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salatu was-salam. And the reason of that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to put these people and actually this city as a kind of proof over other, you know, people. Because we have in one narration, فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ قُمْ وَأَهْلَهُ قَائِمَيْنَ مَقَامَ الْحُجَّةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts this city and the residents of this city to be a proof of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over all people.
But it does not necessarily mean whoever lives in this city is among those, let's say, the real avatars of Imam alayhi salam.
Exactly.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
But on the other side, we have this famous quote that Sharaf al-Makan bil Makin. So the dignity of this land is because of those who are living here, definitely. One and first is the lady of Islam, Lady Masum, salam Allah alayha. And due to her barakah, Qom found itself as being Qom today.
Exactly.
Whoever is close to this lady, great lady of Islam, will be among the, I think they are the right addressees of this hadith. In case Qom is going to find a dignity, it's due to the lady and those who are close to her in action, in belief, in whatever they are doing. Am I right, Sheikh?
Exactly. The point that you mentioned is absolutely right. And I would like to add to that, other narrations from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that فَيَفِيدُ الْعِلْمُ مِنْهُ إِلَىٰ سَائِرِ الْبُلْدَانِ فِي الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. He said that knowledge would be distributed all around the walls from this holy city. And of course, we are witnessing, alhamdulillah, thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are witnessing this prediction of Imam As-Sadiq, that knowledge is, you know, spreading all around the world from this holy city and from this
for
land.
That ideal Mahdavi government, I think the message should be transferred to the people of the world so that to prepare the world. Because, Sheikh, due to a research that I once had on the hadith and then a series of narration, at the Akhir Zaman, the end of the time, the media of the school of Ahlul Bayt should be very powerful. So we are seeing, I think this is the beginning of having this media from the holy city of Qom. More than 1,500 institutes are working here, working in Islamic sciences and different branches of Islam science. So they need to prepare the world for the arrival and the advent of Imam of the age, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. So in this hadith, I think can be more understood and more actually is really tangible now to understand, okay, we have to go towards that great media of the school of Ahlul Bayt to prepare the world. Because in case Imam Zaman alayhi salam is going to reappear with the motto or the slogan of Ya Allah Tharat al-Hussein, so all of the world had to know already who Hussein is and what this mission is going to function, actually. Am I right?
Exactly. And beside that, more than media, maybe we have to increase our knowledge, you know, because unfortunately we are living in the world that's full of ignorance and prejudice, you know, that unfortunately at least some portion of people, they're not aware about the school of Ahlul Bayt and about this divine religion of Islam. Unfortunately, a lot of propaganda against Islam and against the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt. And the Maybe the some part of the reason of that is, as you mentioned, the you know some propaganda against and phobia against this religion and the divine school of Ahlul Bayt. And then on the other hand, unfortunately, some people are ignorant about the school of Ahlul Bayt. And we have to explain for them and to spread the message of Ahlul Bayt.
The same way that Arba'een was a media for Ashura, the same way that actually the Islamic Revolution was, let's say, a light for the people, for the Muslims in this region. And again, Arba'een is going to support this great revolution, inshallah, to highlight it and to make it quite clear or to make it quite known to the people of the world, hopefully.
Exactly. The you know conditions that Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, the house, pure household of Noble Prophet Muhammad, has been put as a privilege of Qom, we have to seize this opportunity. We have to contribute to this, you know, spreading the message of Ahlul Bayt. You know, this is the idea. If we do not that, if we lose the, you know, capacity of that, if we lose the, you know, this condition, as it has been mentioned in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, for example, betray each other, not to be honest, and not to be hardworking, in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put another people and another nation to do the message and this mission.
Thank you very much, dear Sheikh, for your enlightenment and your answers to the questions. And your respected listeners, for staying tuned and listening to IRB English Radio and our show entitled as Q&A in Islamic Beliefs.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husaynin wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husaynin wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Listeners special. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, September 25th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. And accept our condolences to you on the passing away anniversary of Prophet Muhammad, the Prophet of Islam. Blessings of God upon him and his progeny, as well as the martyrdom anniversary of the second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him. This is another edition of Listeners Special, and as you know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an electronic QSL card from us. And here I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, Olof Rotavara from Finland, and Kurt Ettlinger from Germany. And we have also received so many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails or letters, including Anwar Iqbal from Bangladesh has sent us an email. Marta from India has sent us an email. We've received an email from Australia from David Foster, and from Finland, we have an email from David Mavi. Please stay with us. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received an email from Bangladesh from Anwar Iqbal. Anwar Iqbal says, "Dear staff, with due respect, we would like to say that we, the club members of World Radio Listeners Club, want to listen to your radio program regularly. We also want to know more about your country. Please send us your frequency and program schedule with timetable. Also send us your books, magazines, poster, and other promotional materials if possible." Salam and warm greetings to you, Anwar Iqbal, and thank you very much for sending us this email. Unfortunately, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is halted due to the global pandemic. So you should refer to our website in order to find the frequency schedule, with this address, www.parstoday.com/en. And to know more about Iran, you can listen to our programs. You can follow our programs, which introduce Iran in details. Thank you again for sending us this email. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as verification. And Marta from India has sent us an email. He or she says, "I am a listener of your radio service. I enjoy listening to news, world reports, traditional music, culture, and your mailbox program. At some time, your frequency is very poor. Please change your signal." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially from IRIB English Radio staff to you, Marta from India. Thank you very much for sending us this email, and sorry for the trouble you had regarding the frequency. As you said, the frequency was poor, but we will fix it very soon if the trouble is on our behalf. Thank you again. Please accept our electronic QSL card as a verification. Wish you the best. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English radio programs. And after a short break, I will be back with you. And from Australia, from Southern Hemisphere, we've received an email from David Foster. David Foster says, greetings from Australia. I was very pleased to hear the IRIB English radio few days ago. I would be most grateful if you could verify that this report is correct with your verification QSL card or an electronic QSL card. Can you mention on the card that it was an IRIB program with details? Thank you for your time and looking forward to hearing from you. Best wishes from Australia. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially from IRIB English Radio staff. Please accept